Those of us who have gone to places where people are very poor are amazed very often at how joyful they are. And so these two children would be from very poor families. And yet there's that sense of joy there with them. And that strikes you again and again as you go to these places. And for many of the Christians in those areas, they have very little in terms of wealth, very few possessions. And yet they have everything because they have God. And that's the message we're looking at today. If you have God, you have everything. And so those Christians are a challenge to us. And Habakkuk is a challenge to us. And the question I want to ask is, what is at the heart of our worship? Is it God, or is it his gifts to us that we praise him for? If we had only God, but nothing else, would we still be joyful worshippers? Or are we joyful because we have this and this and this to give us satisfaction? As we've been going through Habakkuk, we see a wonderful model of how we should engage with God. Our vision as a church is to engage with God, to engage with each other, and to engage with the world, both local and world. Habakkuk, I think, gives us a very good picture of what it means to engage with God. And if you want to engage with God, faith is essential. And so in Habakkuk 2, verse 4, which is probably the key verse in Habakkuk, he says, "See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith." The people of God are called to live by faith, faith in God. And as we've been going through Habakkuk, we've seen that God hears. And so in chapter 1, he has brought his complaints, he's brought his questions to God. And so he says in verse 2, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help?" Verse 3, "Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong?" And then verse 13, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent?" You see, Habakkuk believed that God would hear him when he brought his prayer, when he brought his complaints, his struggles to God. God would hear him. And so we can bring our questions to God. We can bring our fears to God. We know he hears. But God also speaks. And so we need to be those who listen. And so in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to his complaint." In chapter 1 and 2, God speaks to Habakkuk. And so we need to be those who are expecting God to speak. We are open to him to speak. And he especially speaks to us through his word, the Bible. And so we need to be those who read his word. And we come with an open, expectant heart. God speaks. God can be trusted. That's what we saw in chapter 3. And we saw that it's a sung prayer. That it's something that the people would sing as a prayer to God. And we see here Habakkuk's submission. He's had lots of questions. He's heard God speaking to him. And he finally comes to the place where he says, "I don't have the answers, but I trust in you. I don't need to be in control. You're the one."